Hi, this is Peter Chung. I'm the director and co-writer of The Purge.
Hi, I'm Peter Gaffney. I was story editor on The Purge.
I'm Japhet Asher, the executive producer of The Purge and the series.
And I'm Mark Mars, pretending to be Eric Singer today.
I guess for clarification, Eric Singer was the co-writer with Peter on the on the episode.
We were unable to track him down for this.
But I think, you know, I mean, this episode, actually, Eric and Peter worked for a very long time on, but as with all of them, there were many people involved in trying to get the best out of these episodes from writing phase on. They all started with Peter Chung and grew from there into many-headed
monsters. Not all of them. There were 2 out of 10 that I actually did not write the premise for, ultimately, but...
Was this one of them?
Even though I did write 10 premises, in the end, well, I wrote more than that, actually. At this point, this is episode 9, and this is one of definitely the more way out episodes, which I never would have been allowed to do if it had been at the beginning of the series, because it was just a little too out there, I think, for MTV. At this point, they were just kind of so desperate to have these episodes done and on time that they actually really left me alone on this episode. And I was very involved in the execution of this episode as well. And I took advantage of that in as a way of trying to incorporate more of the feeling of the silent shorts, the Liquid TV shorts. Making it much more of a visual piece of storytelling, especially in the first act.
Yeah. The first act changed rather considerably from what was in the script to what wound up being on the screen, because I think, Peter, you reconceived...
Yeah, because Eric had originally written this train full of passengers with Eon chasing Bambara through... crowds, and it stopped at a train station, and there were crowds. And one of the things that you learn very early on in animation, especially
that's so great,
especially TV animation, is that you avoid crowd scenes. And so I came up with this very sparsely populated train with compartments, each of which presents a different moral challenge, because this is, after all, a story about conscience.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I think the other thing about, one other thing about this episode is that from the script on, everything was really over the top in terms of extremes of action, extremes of violence, extremes of length. And as a result, even pulling it back to some kind of realistic level that we could accomplish, it still got far more going on than many of the other episodes. And I think that that was a useful strategy in the long run, but a challenge at the time.
No doubt, I'm sure. The diegetic consequence thing that's going on for the first 5 minutes, is that how long the...
Not really. I mean, it's a lot happening in those first few minutes. But the idea being, and I guess I'll do a little bit of analysis. The idea being that the higher goal of capturing Bambara becomes a moral imperative, which enables her to disregard what seem smaller sacrifices as she runs through the train. She's willing to make sacrifices which others have to suffer for in pursuit of her larger goal. So it's the idea of the ends justifying the means, in a sense.
Or making trade-offs, arbitrary trade-offs of, you know, which relative is, moral value in situations.
Yes, which is contrary to the idea of conscience, I think traditionally the idea of conscience is that it is a standard of absolute morality, which is inherent within us.
Or at least it's supposed to be consistent.
Yeah. This was something where, again, they didn't want to actually show, MTV didn't allow us to actually show him untying the belly button. That's why it's off screen.
In case anybody would try and copy it.
Yeah.
Or try to do that at home.
And you go, yeah, you don't actually see him insert it except the end, at the
it's
end.
It's pretty...
Providing conscience for those who have none. I think it's hysterical that BSP ends up like coming to some arbitrary decision about what's morally acceptable in a case like this.
Yeah. It carries on the theme.
Yeah.
Well,
is that great?
Just like Eon, they had to make some tough trade-offs and choices. So now Bambara, of course, has become the world's sweetest thug. Yeah. And presents Eon with a new like moral quandary. Yeah, well, you worry, but then look what he's done.
I forgot that.
Hey, it beat Zoloft, huh?
One of my favorite characters in the whole series is Hostess Judy, who's red-haired girl. And actually, the model of Hostess Judy is actually based on the voice actress who did her, Sue Turner Cray.
So really?
Very beautiful British actress. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and she actually looks like that.
Why are you following Bambara?
Eric had originally written Comrade Judy, and MTV objected to that, so they're called Hostess.
That's right. What about this Mavenly woman who's just like this total crusty authority figure and stuff?
Principal Lorna.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to see her soon.
You know, the variety of entrances in the series is remarkable, but I particularly like that one, going in through the suit and then clothing.
Were originally called body tourniquets, and originally they were much more like what the name implies, which is like a full body tourniquet, which restricts the flow of blood to certain parts, which facilitates the purging of the custodians, which is the removal and reinsertion
of the artificial conscience.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having one of those things in your hands squirming? That's f***ed up.
It definitely is. Oh, that's a nice image.
I love that.
So this underground movement of hostesses who want to repurpose the custodians for their own use, because as you realize that the armature can be programmed for different uses. Trevor happens to use them as an artificial conscience, but the hostesses have a different...
Yeah, they put bomb pops on them, and then they work different.
Yeah, you can imagine how a nice lolly thinks.
Yeah, or what the priorities are of a militated 10-year-old kind of audience waiting for an ice cream truck, you know, what their priorities are in this world.
So
this underground movement of female hostesses or comrades, something I'd love to revisit at some point, because there's so much more I think that could be done with them.
There is a
I love this guy.
Yeah, this is just something that I just purely came up with in storyboard. It wasn't like this in the script at all.
Chung, that's one of your genius moments. That poor little fool, all he'd have to do is reach up on top of his head and grab one of those snacks, you know?
It would not allow to.
I think he would appreciate the discipline.
This actually I would like to explain a little bit. This is the food bank. And the idea is that this is the Breen communal government controlled feeding center where people are think that they're having their blood analyzed and being fed according to their nutritional needs through blood analysis.
Right.
They are in fact donating their blood and in exchange are being given food. And as it turns out, they're all being given the same cabbage. But they don't know that because they're all in their own little private booths when they open their boxes of provisions.
You know, the other thing about the hostess is, just to quickly come back to it, Eon joins a group, which is an unusual thing for her to do, and it almost feels like she's being seduced into becoming part of something larger than herself. Again, it's another of the quandaries that she...
Yes,
right.
Well, it is a dilemma because, as you will see, she actually is reluctant to go through with the prescribed mission.
Yeah, because there's an authority hierarchy in that organization, which is antithetical to her her whole modus operandi. And it's interesting to see her really try to work with that.
I'll almost be seduced by it. We discover here that Trevor really is a metrosexual here with his grooming habits fully revealed.
And the monocles was just a visual way. The monocles and the trench coats helped us identify the hostesses. And the idea was that the hostesses would converge on the food bank because that is where the citizens who were implanted with the custodians, who are good citizens, would be. So they have to go to the place where the implanted citizens are, because that's where the source of the custodians, that's where they're most likely to find the custodians.
And have a moment of surreptitious privacy to make the extraction.
Yeah, originally in the one of the early versions of the story, which was completely different from how it turned out. Maybe I should mention that the second act and the third act were completely reversed in an earlier draft, and this used to be the conclusion of the episode. But they, instead of being fed cabbages, were required to perform some kind of service inside those private booths. And the thing that I was leaning towards was they had to perform surgery on some patient who needed it, and this was it was a green program of community service where everybody had to do something like perform surgery as an act of social harmony. But that became too unwieldy. So, but they do sort of perform surgery in the sense that somehow that idea mutated into this, which is actually even weirder.
Yeah, have you ever seen so many people happy to eat cabbage?
I'll be there to bury her. Cold meat, mutton pie, cold meat.
So, at this point, Eon is having to face the dilemma of whether or not she actually wants to go through.
Well, it's the visual pun of wrestling with
the
conscience.
And she's more interested.
Yeah.
She's more interested in killing Bambara, and that's why she does not implant herself. Because she does not. Okay, so.
The conscience wants to implant itself.
Yes, the custodian is programmed to want to do that. And you notice that the custodian here has only one arm because.
Bambara.
Only has one arm. Yeah, that's Captain Bensonhurst, I should mention.
Yeah, the one who was in the trees with the.
Yeah,
she was 14 years old.
In the original script, yeah. And here is another regrettable scene where we don't actually see Lorna die, even though that train was supposed to smash into her car, but that was another censorship issue.
Yeah, but that's the same train that he put the bomb on.
Yes, that he put the bomb on, which Eon allowed him to to do in the pursuit of him, and there there it explodes, and we see that her decision not to remove the bomb
is continuing actually, to you know, more and more consequences.
Yeah.
You are in my keep. How do you feel?
And this section, I have to say, is pure Eric Singer.
This was.
The idea of the two girls, which it may be implied are Trevor's daughters, although we're not sure, was Eric's idea. And the whole idea of this this stage show performance, theater.
Yeah, we, I think, really enjoyed where the sort of surreal stuff started to take the show, and
it
if we had the opportunity to do more of these, I'm sure that we would explore such things further.
Well, what happened, I think, is that the discussion about the value of conscience and morality became, it's such an abstract thing that you can't help but address it using a lot of dialogue, and I just hate having scenes where people are just in a room talking, and the way to kind of reduce the what do you want to say, the I mean we was to just literally push it onto a stage and make it a stage bound thing and just push that element and exaggerate it to the point where the speech even becomes more like speechifying.
More, I mean,
example of its own didacticism, more,
exactly,
and its own removal from the cause, you know, from the cause and effect of a real situation.
Exactly, because if Trevor had to give these speeches in a normal situation, they would come off as being incredibly declamatory, but in this setting, he can say very declamatory things, and it fits
well, and make it acceptable.
Yeah. Plus, Trevor as puppet master, you know, sort of
exactly
finally revealed.
Yeah, and he takes a hand at, you know, being a one-man Nielsen machine. So we can hear a poem.
Yeah, there was at least one other person that we had to cut out that had been written, who came out and performed a little thing on stage.
Don't kill me right now.
That's what I thought. You feel the hesitation, the doubt. You're asking yourself, is it your conscience or my custodian?
So here we come into some very thematically direct dialogue, but I think it works.
But then I could also say that themselves must be
commanded. It's the kind of thing you really try to avoid doing. It's, you know, people talking about talking about things in a very philosophical way.
So the best way to, you know, cut the mood is to have somebody drink out of a potted plant.
With a bunny mask on it.
My children, Judy, Bambara, it was for them I created the custodian, an artificial conscience, a fire for those who had none.
But you've lost the substance.
Is Jerry Lewis doing a telethon with like these like
you have been implanted? You want to confirm your autonomy of will.
Yes.
You would also like to leave this place alive.
So I, you know, at this point, my hope is if you're still able to, if you're not too distracted with all the weird goings on, is that Eon is trying to answer this question of whether or not she has a conscience, and Trevor is kind of
whether it's really hers or whether it's a abstraction.
Well, it's, I mean, what I love about the. About it is that it serves both purposes in the sense that, you know, he can challenge her on the question of whether she has a custodian, which in her mind is the equivalent of asking her whether or not she has a conscience, and she has to take the position confronted this way, that she does not.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that she would be under the control of something outside herself
exactly.
is absolute anathema. And she
anathema, yeah.
And she seems to even act in ways that are abnormal for Eon as we know her, in an effort to sort of prove to herself that she can do whatever the hell she wants.
And here she's doing something that, yes, she would not have done in other episodes, which is pull the lever, which would have killed Bambara and Trevor at the same time. She had regretted in the previous test when she hesitated and allowed the innocent person in the trailer. Anyway, as we find out that that's not really Trevor anyway.
And
oh,
then
that's great.
Subsequently begin to wonder whether or not any other time we've seen him, whether or not he was.
Is anything what it seems?
Actually, that little guy bears a striking resemblance to somebody who spoke to MTV at one time.
And now, and like everybody, and Conscious is epitomized in the talk show hate radio.
Well, Conscience is epitomized audience. By this little wind-up doll, which is, I mean, my way of describing that was always it was always a parlor trick to begin with. It was just a. It was a shell within a shell.
And there's that thing, doing the lever thing.
Well,
rote behavior.
And, yes, there it is. And she realizes that maybe she isn't so free after all.
Yeah.